You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Steve Lyons.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast alongside Steve Lyons. I'm Holden Kushner. We're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate triple play, which is where Steve and I discuss three topics that interest us. We're going to start triple play out reacting to the Tampa Bay Rays home series against the Yankees, which is in Citi Field in New York. Then weigh in on the Brewers' beef with the Cubs for moving Friday's game against Milwaukee to a 7 p.m. start. And Steve and I finish up by continuing to talk about the Dodgers as their struggles continue.
The MLB At The Plate triple play.
Psycho, let's talk about a big story today that I know you got a strong opinion on. So the Rays and the Yankees are playing next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Hurricane Irma is bearing down the whole state of Florida, and this is going to be the third time that a hurricane has actually forced Rays games out of town. It was back in 2004, they had Hurricane Francis. Back in 2000, they had Hurricane Gordon, and now this time with Irma. And Rays president Brian Ault, he comes out and he says, after much consideration, our games against the Yankees will be moved to Citi Field in New York as Hurricane Irma approaches Florida. We're grateful to the Mets for opening their doors to us. We are most concerned with the safety of our fans, our families, friends, and neighbors. And before we get your take on this, I do want to let you know, remember the Astros got really upset at the Rangers because they wanted to switch series. And I actually had an understanding on both sides, and I understand where the Rangers were coming from. In this instance, I think if the Rays really thought that they were in this race, that they may have pushed for a different venue. That's just my thought. I have no inside knowledge. I'm not in the head of Rays front office personnel. But what do you think about this series being moved up to New York where the Yankees basically have a home series?
Yeah, I don't like it at all. I mean, you want to hear somebody that's going to be upset about it? How about Boston's management? How about them protesting this venue? I mean, bottom line is you're taking three games from Tampa Bay and you're moving them to New York. That's what you're doing. You're giving the New York Yankees a home series. What, they're playing in Citi Field or across the street? Who cares? Those are going to be home games for the New York Yankees right there. They don't have to travel. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to do anything. They stay at home. I mean, to me, that's a joke. I would have thought that MLB would have looked for a more neutral venue for both of those teams to play at. Now, I don't know the entire schedule of who's home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and who's on the road. But you could have taken a team that's on the road. Maybe the Cleveland Indians are playing on the road Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They should have played that series right there. Not basically a home series for the New York Yankees when they're breathing down the necks of the Boston Red Sox in a playoff situation.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If the Red Sox come out and publicly protest this thing, or they find out where they went to Major League Baseball, they're going to look like a bunch of jerks. Because the Rays actually...
Why can't you say, hey, this isn't great. Why are you guys basically giving the Yankees a home series?
Well, because there's a hurricane coming there, and they wanted to make the easiest...
Right, so they make the point that I just made. Why aren't they playing in Cleveland?
Maybe it's just not as easy to go to Cleveland.
How tough is it to get to Cleveland? They're all charter planes. Everyone's going somewhere. Tampa Bay has to fly up to New York. I bet they could fly to Cleveland in less time.
I'm looking at the schedule here for the 12th. So, again, I mean, there are some venues. You're not going to go to Houston, obviously. You go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. There you go. What's wrong with Pittsburgh?
Go to Pittsburgh. The Mets are available. Cincinnati is available. I mean, Cincinnati, you don't want to play a game there, though. That's a different brand of baseball. Baltimore, you know, Baltimore might not be a bad venue as well. But you know what I bet you also played into this? I would not be surprised if, because the Rays are probably going to get the gate for this. And think about how many more people are going to the game in New York as opposed to a Rays-Yankees game in Cincinnati.
Always about the almighty dollar, I guess.
Think I'm onto something there?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's still, you know, there's – I don't think the Red Sox would look that bad if they casually came out and said, hey, come on, Why are we playing this in the Yankees' backyard?
Because you're a homer. You're a Red Sox homer. I would crush him.
I
can't come out there and talk about how, you know, this is awful. You're playing a game in a Yankees' backyard. This is hurricanes. People are dying from this thing. Big deal.
Right. I get it. And I understand they need to move the games. I'm all for that. But you don't basically put it in the backyard of the team that's supposed to be visiting down in Tampa Bay.
Well,
they
are,
in effect, getting three more home games. You're right. They're not complaining because they're going to get money and they're out of the race and they don't care.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them. I mean, go up there. That it is kind of sad, though, that they're almost waving the towel. You know, they're waving a white flag here because that's what it tells me. First of all, you're going to make a lot of money by moving it there. And second of all, you're waving a flag. It's over for us. We're going to play in New York. So and I will also applaud them, though. I will also applaud the Rays for moving this game. Get it out of there.
Well, that's, you have to move the game. You don't have a choice about moving the game. Right? I mean, you're not staying in Tampa.
This hurricane is going to crush the
place. You're
going to
be underwater in Tampa. I don't care that your stadium has a roof on it. It might not have a roof on it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's get into something that's going to happen in about 35 minutes, and that means the Cubs and the Brewers are going to go head-to-head, and the Brewers are sitting three games back in the wild card spot. They just got swept by the Cincinnati Reds. And when you were playing, did you ever look ahead of a series, you know, and not just have 100% focus on the teams you were playing?
Oh, I mean, you try not to do that, especially this time of the year. You understand how important every game is, but it's human nature to kind of look at the schedule and say, who do we got coming up here? Oh, we got with Cincinnati. All right, we'll beat the heck out of those guys. And then who do we got coming up after that? And so it's like you almost – you can skip by teams. On a nightly basis, you don't do that. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself, all right, we're going to win 2 out of 3 at least against those guys. And then you go out and stink it up.
Well, here's the deal. The Brewers are 5 back. The Cubs are coming off a game last night that was delayed in Pittsburgh, and they've got the game at Wrigley coming up. It'll be the first regular season Friday night game. For some reason, they're making a big deal out of it. They did play a World Series game on a Friday night last year. I think it's a little more important than this one, but it's an important game, more important for the Brewers. But the Cubs tried to get an exemption for a Friday night ban. They weren't allowed to play on Friday nights there. So the series, you know, wouldn't have to start early today after a late night game in Pittsburgh. And guess what? The city said, you guys won a World Series last year. We'll do anything you want. Because Major League teams, most of them play 54 home night games. The Cubs can only play 47. And guess what? The Brewers were not happy about that. They were protesting. They vigorously objected, quote-unquote, to the Cubs moving the game. Craig Counsell's even talked about it. And all I got to say to the Brewers is, too bad. You know, get over this. Teams are going to do this. They have the option to do it. They're defending world champions. Don't get swept by the Reds and then take it out on the Cubs moving a game to the night instead of the afternoon. This is absolutely ridiculous that the Brewers are vigorously objecting this and now complaining about it too. What a joke.
And I can tell you that most of the players would rather play at night than in the daytime anyway.
Even the Brewers?
Yeah. Why not? I mean,
they had the day off Thursday. They've just been hanging around there. But, yeah, you get an extra day in Chicago. It's gorgeous up there.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I know that, you know, my dad used to tell me, hey, baseball is made to be played in the sun, right? And that's, but he was usually talking about not losing a ball in the sun on a fly ball. But look around. It's all night games. That's what you play. Most guys are more comfortable playing at night. I know it's a different situation in Chicago with all the day games they play there. But if they want to have the decision to make it a night game instead of a day game, they should be able to do it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if the Brewers, instead of focusing on the Reds, they were focusing on this series.
Yeah, and I don't, like I said, I don't think the players care. You know, they're
players
like,
don't care?
No, they're like, let's play it at night. I'd rather play it at night.
But the front office got upset.
Yeah.
Craig Counsell wasn't thrilled about it. I just said, go out there. And to me, it's almost a situation where the Brewers have to sweep because they are 5 games out. And you're 5 games out at 72-68. That's 140 games. You got 22 games left on the schedule if you're Milwaukee. If you win 2 out of 3, big deal. So you creep up and you get to within 4. It just seems like they put themselves, the Brewers put themselves in such a hole by crumbling against the Cincinnati Reds in a series where at the very least they should have won 2 of 3. but they didn't. And then, you know, the good news for them, they got the Pirates, six games. The Pirates are not doing so hot. They shut down Jameson Taillon. They got the Marlins. They got another three-game set, actually a four-game set against the Cubs before the end of the year, then the Reds and the Cardinals. So, you know, two out of three is fine. It's almost a situation where you got to sweep because there's just no room for a margin for error. And that four-game series in Milwaukee against the Cubs will be humongous, humongous. But
if they win some games, I mean, the problem is you're talking about this team who's already crying about what time the game is starting, and they come off of a sweep to the Cincinnati Reds. Are they a team right now that's showing you any chance of coming into Chicago and sweeping a series?
I'll say that they do just because I love their starting pitching, and I just don't think the Cubs.
Your boy Jimmy Nelson,
right?
Jimmy Nelson on the hill tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy Nelson on the hill, right? Hey, listen, this is the one thing I like from Council. He said this is a big series. I'm going to line up my starting pitchers for this series. Unfortunately, he kind of skipped those guys against the Reds, He forgot to show up against Cincinnati, so
it puts
even more pressure on these guys, but. So the Cubs got the Brewers. They got the Mets, who have just completely tanked. They got the Cardinals, the Reds. You know, there's some easy series in there, and no series is easy, I guess. But games that the Cubs should win, it's Lackey tonight against Jimmy Nelson. It's Chase Anderson against Mike Montgomery. So, you know, these next two games, the Milwaukee Brewers should definitely win these two games, given the guys that are going to the mound for them. I can't really express how big of a series this is for the Brewers, even though they got four at home against the Cubs. Because when they go home against the Cubs, it's Wrigleyville North. That place will be packed with Cubs fans, and it pisses the Brewers off.
Yeah, and that's fine, but you know those games have to mean something. You got to play you have to play a lot better baseball than you've exhibited over the last 5 or 6 days. Or that four-game series at home against the Cubs, you know, 10 days from now, won't mean anything.
All right, let's get into something that's going to happen in about 35 minutes, and that means the Cubs and the Brewers are going to go head-to-head, and the Brewers are sitting three games back in the wild card spot. They just got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, and when you were playing, did you ever look ahead of a series, you know, and not just have 100% focus on the teams you were playing?
Oh, I mean, you try not to do that, especially this time of the year. You understand how important every game is, but it's human nature to kind of look at the schedule and say, who do we got coming up here? Oh, we got Cincinnati. All right, we'll beat the heck out of those guys. And then who do we got coming up after that? And so it's like you almost – you can skip by teams. On a nightly basis, you don't do that. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself, all right, we're going to win two out of three at least against those guys. And then you go out and stink it up.
Well, here's the deal. The Brewers are five back. The Cubs are coming off a game last night that was delayed in Pittsburgh, and they've got the game at Wrigley coming up. It'll be the first regular season Friday night game. For some reason, they're making a big deal out of it. They did play a World Series game on a Friday night last year. I think it's a little more important than this one, but it's an important game, more important for the Brewers. But the Cubs tried to get an exemption for a Friday night ban. They weren't allowed to play on Friday nights there. So the series, you know, wouldn't have to start early today after a late night game in Pittsburgh. And guess what? The city said, you guys won a World Series last year. We'll do anything you want. Because Major League teams, most of them play 54 home night games. The Cubs can only play 47. And guess what? The Brewers were not happy about that. They were protesting. They vigorously objected, quote-unquote, to the Cubs moving the game. Craig Counsell's even talked about it. And all I got to say to the Brewers is, too bad. You know, get over this. Teams are going to do this. They have the option to do it. They're defending world champions. Don't get swept by the Reds and then take it out on the Cubs moving a game to the night instead of the afternoon. This is absolutely ridiculous that the Brewers are vigorously objecting this and now complaining about it too. What a joke.
And I can tell you that most of the players would rather play at night than in the daytime anyway.
Even the Brewers?
Yeah. Why not? I mean,
they had the day off Thursday. So they've just been hanging around there. But yeah, you get an extra day in Chicago. It's gorgeous up there.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I know that, you know, my dad used to tell me, hey, baseball is made to be played in the sun, right? And that's, but he was usually talking about not losing a ball in the sun on a fly ball. But look around. It's all night games. That's what you play. Most guys are more comfortable playing at night. I know it's a different situation in Chicago with all the day games they play there. But if they want to have the decision to make it a night game instead of a day game, they should be able to do it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if, the Brewers, instead of focusing on the Reds, they were focusing on this series.
Yeah, and like instead I said, I don't think the players care. You know, they're
players
like,
don't care?
No, they're like, let's play it at night. I'd rather play it at night.
But the front office got upset.
Yeah.
Craig Counsell wasn't thrilled about it. I just said, go out there. And to me, it's almost a situation where the Brewers have to sweep because they are five games out. And you're five games out at 72-68. That's 140 games. You got 22 games left on the schedule if you're Milwaukee. If you win two out of three, big deal. So you creep up and you get to within four. It just seems like they put themselves, the Brewers put themselves in such a hole by crumbling against the Cincinnati Reds in a series where at the very least they should have won two of three. But they didn't. And then, you know, the good news for them, they got the Pirates, six games. The Pirates are not doing so hot. They shut down Jameson Taillon. They got the Marlins. They got another three-game set, actually a four-game set against the Cubs before the end of the year, then the Reds and the Cardinals. So, you know, two out of three is fine. It's almost a situation where you got to sweep because there's just no room for a margin for error. And that four-game series in Milwaukee against the Cubs will be humongous, humongous. But
if they win some games, I mean, the problem is you're talking about this team who's already crying about what time the game is starting and they come off of a sweep to the Cincinnati Reds. Are they a team right now that's showing you any chance of coming into Chicago and sweeping a series?
I'll say that they do just because I love their starting pitching, and I just don't think the Cubs.
Your boy Jimmy Nelson,
right?
Jimmy Nelson on the hill tonight.
Got Jimmy Nelson on the hill, right? Hey, listen, this is the one thing I like from Counsell. He said this is a big series. I'm going to line up my starting pitchers for this series. Unfortunately, he kind of skipped those guys against the Reds, He forgot to show up against Cincinnati, so
wow,
puts even more pressure on these guys, but. So the Cubs got the Brewers, they got the Mets, who have just completely tanked. They got the Cardinals, the Reds. You know, there's some easy series in there, and no series is easy, I guess. But games that the Cubs should win, it's Lackey tonight against Jimmy Nelson. It's Chase Anderson against Mike Montgomery. So, you know, these next two games, the Milwaukee Brewers should definitely win these two games, given the guys that are going to the mound for them. I can't really express how big of a series this is for the Brewers, even though they got four at home against the Cubs. Because when they go home against the Cubs, it's Wrigleyville North. That place will be packed with Cubs fans, and yeah. It pisses the Brewers off.
Yeah, and that's fine, but you know those games have to mean something. You got to play, you have to play a lot better baseball than you've exhibited over the last 5 or 6 days. Or that four-game series at home against the Cubs, you know, 10 days from now, won't mean anything.
Steve, let's talk about the Dodgers here for a minute, as they have just been playing some of the worst baseball that you could play, and they've lost 7 in a row, 9 of 10, 12 of 13, and again, since Bellinger and Seager were both out at the same time, 5 and 14. That's back on August 19th, so Seager coming back, he and Bellinger in the same lineup. We'll see if that gets a little bit better at the least, but are the Dodgers even the favorites in the National League now, given that the Nationals have played so well, the Diamondbacks are playing so hot, 13 straight games, because they've gone on this funk here for almost 3 weeks now, are the Dodgers still the favorites?
You know what? The Dodgers might not be even the favorites in their own division anymore. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, they built such a huge lead. But had they not have that, they might not even be in first place. They are. It's ridiculous. They had like 22, 23 games. The Diamondbacks have cut that in half in about 10 games, in about 10 days. But, yeah, they're playing really poorly. It's an odd combination right now at this point in the season when you still have, you know, whatever, roughly 3 weeks to go. And you have one team that's playing ridiculously well. You know that they're going to have to cool down, and I'm talking about the Diamondbacks. And you always wonder about a team, you know, do they expend so much energy playing that well for so long that then they turn around and take a nosedive right after that? And then you look at the Dodgers. They've been so bad for so long. You know they're a better team than this. They're going to get better. They have enough time to get better.
I think they do have enough time to
yeah,
get better.
Yeah, they do.
But, I mean, last night, that was rough watching Nolan Arenado, or it was great if you're a Rockies fan, watching Nolan Arenado take Kershaw deep in the first inning on a three-run home run. And then Dave Roberts came out in the fourth to get Kershaw, and Kershaw was screaming into his glove. He kind of bumped Dave Roberts on the way out. You talk about the ultimate competitor, and then to have your manager take you out in the middle of this type of slide, it probably – I can't imagine it getting worse than it is right now for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So there is precedent, as we talked about the 2000 New York Yankees who finished the year horribly. And I'm not saying that this team is the Yankees, though, because there was 96 – and 98 and 99. So they were at least defending champs, but the Yankees went 2-13 down the stretch. This is a different situation because the Dodgers in the playoffs continue not to advance to the ultimate goal. So if it's not the Dodgers, is it the Diamondbacks or the Nationals that would be the favorites in the National League right now?
Well, you know, I think between the Diamondbacks and the Nationals, I think the Nationals are a better club. The Diamondbacks are playing better baseball right now than anybody else. But, you know, teams do that. You know, obviously, we always talk about it. Once you get into the playoffs, once you get into the World Series, once you get into that time, that's the team that's playing the best baseball at the time is the team that wins, not necessarily the best overall team. So what team is going to turn it on right when it's time for the playoffs to start? Who knows? But I would say that the Nationals are a better club than Arizona right now.
Well, we'll talk about Max Scherzer here in just a second because Nick Williams just did something big. We got Mookie Betts doing something spectacular as well. So interesting things going on, and we'll get you out to the Orioles and Indians. But I'm going to go with the Nationals for the time being as the favorites in the National League if the playoffs started today. I'm not going to throw the Cubs into the conversation. The Cubs just haven't shown enough. To this point, the Brewers, not yet. The Rockies, not yet. To me, it's a two-team race with the Nationals and the Dodgers, and I love the way the Diamondbacks are playing. The whole thing with them is how much confidence has Arizona gained, not only with this win streak, but sweeping the Dodgers two times. I mean, they just hammered the Dodgers in the middle of this winning streak. It is amazing the run that they're on, and the more you see it, the more you can play it out. Maybe they could beat the Dodgers in a five-game series if Zach Greinke had to go in the wild card game and only pitched once in the division series.
Yeah, that would be tougher if that had to happen. Obviously, this is, you know, when you talk about the run that they're on and the fact that they swept the Dodgers twice. You and I talked about it after they swept them the first time. It's just a good time to do it. If we're in May right now, nobody cares. It's like, oh, yeah, they beat up on the Dodgers a couple times. But now you're talking about the team. Everyone knows who you are now. Everyone knows what kind of team you are. Played too deep into the season for people to be fooling anybody anymore. And so the Diamondbacks simply waltzed into L.A. and beat them up, swept them, and then took care of them at home too. Now that means something at the end of the year. When you've got your team pretty much set, everybody knows who they are, and now you're saying to yourselves, guess what? You're supposed to be the best team in baseball. You're the team that's supposed to be winning, what, 116 games? That ain't happening. And guess what? We just rubbed your noses in it a bunch of times in a row. So now we know we can play with you. We know we can beat you. And that's the taste that we have in our mouth the next time we see you.
Well, I'll say this, that I'm looking at the best record in the National League, and if the Dodgers continue this, the Nationals might actually catch them for home field advantage.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually, that might not be the worst thing. You might want to face the Cubs as opposed to the Diamondbacks right now. But the Nationals have made up six games over the last 10 games. Yeah. So they were 12 back. Now they're six back, and the two teams go head to head in DC coming up early next week. So it's entirely possible. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I'm just saying that it definitely could happen that the Nationals get home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. We talked about the crazy things that will happen towards the end of the season. And I did want to get back to the Dodgers there, too, a little bit, as you brought them up, just scuffling and what happened to Kershaw. You know, Kershaw does have a nice little mean streak in him. You just don't see it very often because he's so good all the time. He never really has to get very upset. But he didn't want to come out of that game. He wants to be the guy that can right the ship in a situation where they're playing poorly. And he went out and flat out couldn't get it done. Gives up four in the first and then, you know, gets pulled in the fourth. And he has been able to talk himself back into games and clearly was unable to be able to do that with Dave Roberts that day. And he wasn't happy about it.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this. There's hits, and then there's all-time rock classics from the 60s and 70s. With classic rock hits on TuneIn, relive the very best sounds that defined an entire generation. If I ever get out of here, thought of giving it all away. Listen to the greatest rock songs in history with classic rock hits on TuneIn. And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Steve Lyons.
There are 15 games on Friday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Who's your pitcher tonight? Who had the best day on the mound?
I'll tell you, I'm breaking the rules on the pitcher because I'm so impressed with what happened in Milwaukee tonight. They had to come into Chicago. They just got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, a terrible team. You can see them starting to fade away out of this wild card race. They didn't want to play a night game in Chicago. They needed a big win. They got Jimmy Nelson on the mound. He goes out there, he throws you five innings, gives up no runs. But he's not the only guy. Then Hader comes in, two innings, no hits, no runs. Swarzak, one inning, no hits, no runs. Knebel comes in there, did give up a hit, but he got the inning, got the save. Great team effort from their pitching staff right there. You get the two-run homer out of Braun. That's the entire scoring. My best day ever for the pitching goes to the pitching staff,
you know,
of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I thought that I was going to be really creative because my guy was Anthony Swarzak, who really did get the save tonight when he came in the eighth with John Jay on first. The former White Sox setup man, but since you went with him and the rest of that bullpen there, I'm going to go with my number two guy. I'm going to go with Mike Clevinger, who now has thrown three straight starts, six shutout innings in each of them. Clevinger gets the win in the 16th consecutive win for the Indians. Six shutout innings, seven Ks. Mike Clevinger, his ERA is down to 3.30. He is pushing for a spot in the playoff rotation. Mike Clevinger, best day ever. Who's your guy at the plate?
You have a man crush on the Cleveland Indians, I'm telling you,
it goes
man.
Back to last year when nobody believed in him. Right around All-Star break, I'm looking at this team going, this is a World Series team. They could do it. They almost did it. But I'm sticking with them again this year.
They should have won, really.
They should have.
All right, my best day ever at the plate. Pablo the Panda Sandoval.
Son of a buck, you took my guy twice?
Come on.
What's the matter with you?
Great minds think alike. I got a reason for it, right? He goes 0-39. And he breaks that over 39 streak with a three-run homer. He also had a sacrifice fly in the game. He drove in four. Now, this is a guy who's been best known over the last 4 years for a guy whose stomach was so fat he broke his belt buckle after he took a swing and was sitting on the toilet in the sixth inning of a game he was playing in texting girls that were from an escort service. Come on. You can't be doing that kind of stuff. Hey, in his 3 years with the Red Sox, he totaled 14 homers and 69 RBIs and an anemic batting average. Terrible, terrible times. And he continued to have terrible times. 0-39. Come on.
Well, now I got to go with my backup again. My backup is a guy that's actually from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So I'm sure his thoughts are on what's going on down there with the hurricane situation. But they don't call him Michael A. for nothing. Michael A. Taylor, Washington Nationals. Not only did he have an inside-the-park grand slam home run, he also hit his third double of the year. He also stole his 14th base of the year. And let's remember, this is a guy that was on the DL for a while. So he's racking up the numbers. 4-for-5, 5 RBIs, 2 runs, a stolen base, an outfield assist. He was a double shy of the cycle. Michael A. Taylor, you best day ever. Let's go check out all the home runs in Major League Baseball.
MLB at the Plate Home Run Tracker.
By the way, Michael Taylor, distance on his, doesn't have one. Inside the park, home run. Nick Williams hit a 3-run shot off of Max Scherzer went 402, 100 off the bat. Edwin Encarnacion, his shot went 428, 105 exit velo. Mookie Betts, Travis Tijeron, and Nicholas Castellanos all going deep. Castellanos had a grand slam, and it went 405, 103 off the bat. Jose Reyes had two home runs. Both went 400 feet. One left the bat at 98, and one left the bat at 103. Derek Dietrich and Freddie Freeman both went deep. Nomar Mazara crushed a 453-foot home run, 110 off the bat. It was Ryan Braun's 300th, 410 feet, 106 exit velo. Ian Kinsler, Didi Gregorius, Eddie Rosario. How about Rosario's going 434? Jesus Sucre, Trey Turner's first home run off the DL went 421, and Pablo Sandoval, 105 exit velo. I'm going to give degrees on this one, 25 degrees and 413 feet for one of the greatest San Francisco Giants ever, Pablo Sandoval. Wow. Aviseo Garcia went deep for the White Sox.
I thought that was it. I thought you were done.
No, we got Aviseo Garcia, Richard Urania, Jose Bautista. The Blue Jays went deep, hit one 402. Reese Hoskins homers again for the Phillies, 402, 104 off the bat, and that means that I'm going to have to check out our boy Ryan Spader here. Let me see if he has a Reese Hoskins note, because he usually does have a Reese Hoskins note. Here you go. First NL player with at least 30 RBI before his 30th career game since Albert Pujols in 2001. Also, Reese Hoskins, 13 home runs, tied for the most home runs all time by a player through 35 career games, but he has only played 29 career games. There you go. We got Eric Hosmer, Eduardo Escobar, Jose Altuve. Altuve's went 415, 106 exit velo. Cargos went 377. Mikel Franco, 421, 110 off the bat. Justin Turner's two-run blast, very important for the Dodgers, went 375. Ben Gamel, Matt Chapman, Denard Span hit one 366. Yuli Gurriel's 17th went 403. Matt Joyce, Ray Fuentes, and Josh Reddick, who cranked one 377. That's your home runs to this point. Let's look at the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
There you go. How about Yu Darvish, fastest player in Major League Baseball history to strike out 1,000 batters?
That's incredible. You could have given me 100 guesses. I wouldn't have come up with that.
Well, I mean, he came over here a little bit older, but still, wow. Fastest player in history of the Major Leagues to strike out 1,000 batters. Now, good luck getting to...
I would have thought someone like Kershaw.
Yeah. Nope. Wow. Randy Johnson. Nope. Randy Johnson actually was not really good in this.
He walked everybody. Yeah. I have a bone to pick with you on the home runs, though. Should I wait until you go with the numbers?
Yeah, let's just get done with this and just pick the bones.
Man. All right.
Didi Gregorius hit his 21st homer of the season, most by a Yankee shortstop since Derek Jeter had 23 back in 2004. Tigers turned a triple play in the sixth inning tonight, first since August 1st, 2001, when they did it against the Mariners. Michael Taylor hits the first inside the park grand slam since Aaron Altair did it for the Phillies back in September 25th, 2005. Taylor was the fielder on that grand slam inside the park. Odubel Herrera extended his hitting streak to 21 games tonight, longest by the Phillies since 2006. By the way, you may not have seen this in the first inning or heard it. In the first inning, Herrera was taking his time digging into the box, and Max Scherzer was just getting completely irritated. So later in the game, Herrera stepped into the box, and while he was tapping the plate with his bat, Scherzer just whipped a fastball right over the middle of the plate. Herrera looked at the ball, jumped out of the box, and may have soiled himself. It was awesome. Mike Clevinger, first Indians pitcher with three straight scoreless starts of at least six innings since John Denny in 1981. Did you ever play against John Denny?
Only in spring training.
I do not recall John Denny.
He pitched for the Phillies, didn't he?
I have no idea. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I want to say he was a Phillies pitcher. He may have bounced around and pitched for somebody else.
And the 16-game win streak for the Indians tied for the second-longest single-season streak in the last 50 seasons. The A's had the longest of 20 back in 2002. The Royals had 16 in 77. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily five-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Ryan and Dustin in L.A. and Steve Lyons alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner. We'll catch you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.